We'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Aleph. We're picking up on the first line of Amud Aleph. Rabbi Hud Omer B'Yisrael Chodesh Echad. So we'll say again, remember, dealing with the case of the Mishnah. And the case of the Mishnah was the situation of Hamadir Es Ishto Melahonos Lo. A person is taking a neder, preventing his wife from getting any kind of benefits from him. So the Tanakhama said, up until 30 days, he could support her through a third party. More than 30 days, he has to divorce her, give her a ksuva. And Rabbi Huda said, Rabbi Huda seems to say the same thing. So it says the Gemara, Hainu Tanakama, Rabbi Huda and the Tanakama are saying the same thing. You're right, Rabbi Huda is coming to introduce the Chiddush by the Kohenes. That by the Kohenes, the wife of the Kohen, we give her an extra month. Why? Remember again, because under normal circumstances, the man makes a neder, prohibiting his wife from getting any benefits from him, and the neder lasts for more than a month. Then the ma'asik, and he has to divorce her immediately, give her a ksuba. But if it's a kohenes, meaning if he's a kohen, then lema'isa, we give the neder up to 2 months. And remember again, we saw the logic behind that, that since if a kohen divorces his wife, there is no way to ultimately retract that decision. Therefore, we give the neder a little bit more time to see perhaps they can work out some type of resolution. That's what Rabbi Huda is coming to teach us. Rava Amar Rava says, no, Chodesh Mali v'Chodesh Chaser Ika Binayu. No, the truth is, the nature of the Machlokis is, both agree that it's a Chodesh, but the question is, remember, in Halacha, there are two different types. In our calendrical system, there are two different types of months. There's a Mali, which is 30 days, and there's a Chaser, which is 29 days. The Tanakhama holds that Chodesh means a Mali, 30 days, and Rabbi Huda holds that it means a Chaser, 29 days. Amar Rav, Rav said, Lo Shonu Ela B'Mefarish. All of these halachas in the Mishnah were only stated when he articulated a duration for the neder. Look at Rashi. B'mefarish, shepirish shloshim yom. That when he said the neder will last for 30 days, hudalo kafina le'lahotzi, eli ya'amid parnis. So we'll say, so when do we have this whole mechanism as described in the Mishnah, that if a husband makes a neder, not to allow his wife, to prevent his wife from getting any benefit from him. That we say that if the neder, that we set up a third party in order to support her. When do we do this? This is only when he's mefarish, when he says that the duration of the neder is for 30 days. Aval b'stam, but if he just makes the neder without qualifying a time limit, then yotzi la'alter v'yitin ksuba. Then he has to divorce her immediately, because we will say, obviously, if it's an undefined neder, then that's simply an unacceptable circumstance, because then the situation is simply going to perpetuate itself, and that's not a sustainable marriage. Therefore, again, if he goes ahead and he does not articulate a time frame, then he has to divorce her, and la'alter means immediately, and he gives her the ksuba. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, afilu b'stam lo yotzi. Shmuel says, no, even if he does not articulate the duration of the neder, still, he shouldn't divorce her immediately. Why? He says, Shema Yimatse. Oh, thank you. So today's daf, thank you. Today's daf is sponsored by Hal Cain in commemoration of the yahrzeit of his mother, Shirley Fuchs, Chava Osnas Bas Bitzal, Zechon Lebracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her Neshama will have an aliyah. Thank you. Shmuel says, "Afilu b'stam lo yoti, shema yimatze pesach l'nidro." So Shmuel says, "No, even if he did not articulate the duration of the neder, we still go ahead and we don't make them get divorced immediately. Why? Because maybe he'll find the pesach." I also remember again when we get into the nedarim, we'll discuss this extensively. But the pesach means an opening. An opening is a piece of information that had I known it at the time that I made the neder, I would have never made the neder. So Shmuel says, even if he does not articulate a duration for the neder, we still don't make them get divorced immediately, because maybe he'll find some type of Pesach to allow him to another neder. So the Gemara says, v'ha iflugu be'chad azimna. But Rav and Shmuel already argued out this point once before. This nan, because we learned, hamadres ishto mitash mishamita. If a man, this case also needs to be explained, because it literally means if a man prohibits his wife or makes a neder, prohibiting his wife from engaging in marital relations, understand in this case over here as well, the only way this works is like this. If a man prohibits himself from engaging in marital relations from his wife. So there's a problem with that because, of course, like we saw yesterday's daf, he's obligated in that. That's an obligation he has towards him. So you can't go ahead and take an edger that uproots your obligation towards someone else. But what he can do is he could prohibit the benefit of tashmish on himself. So that's what he could do. I could prohibit the benefit of tashmish on myself. So obviously, if you do that, then I make a neder that I will not get any benefits from tashmish. If you go out and you do that, then obviously it precludes you from becoming intimate with your wife. So the Gemara says, "Amadrus ishto mitashmish amita beishamer umshtei shavas." So now, same question: What's the tolerable duration of that neder? So Beis Shammai says shtei shavasos. Beis Shammai says the most we're willing to entertain is 2 weeks. More than 2 weeks, you have to divorce her. Beis Hillel omrim Shabbos achos. Beis Hillel says one Shabbos. This is a Mishnah. We had this before. V'amar Rav machlokes b'mefarish. And Rav said the machlokes Beis Shammai is only when he articulates a duration for the neder. Aval b'stam yotzila alter v'yitin k'suva. But if he doesn't attach a duration to the neder, which sounds like again the neder itself will simply perpetuate, then the mice again, he has to divorce her immediately and give her ksuva. Shmuel said, "Afilu b'stam nami lo yotzi." No, even if he does not articulate a duration for the neder, he still doesn't have to go ahead and divorce her. Why? Shema yimase pesach l'nidro. For perhaps he will go ahead and find the pesach an opening for his neder. So we'll say, so now the Gemara is asking, why do Rav and Shmuel have to argue this case in our Mishnah? They've already argued this in a previous Mishnah by the case of Hamadiras Ishto Mitash Mishamita, to which the Gemara says, Tzvicha, you need both cases and I'll tell you why. Di'i itmar bahahi, if it would have just said it in this case, bahi kamarab mishundu afshar barnes. Both say the reason why Rav says that you have to divorce her immediately in the case of Tashmish Shamita is because, as we've said already before, there is no way to satisfy that obligation through a third party. Therefore, if a husband makes a neder and attaches no time duration, no duration, and just says, I assure myself from engaging in Tashmish Shamita with you, then this is an unsustainable marriage. Therefore, the Maaseh should divorce her and give her a ksuv immediately. But in our Mishnah, where even though he's making a neder not to support her, but Lamaisa, again, that neder could be circumvented by establishing a third party to support her. Perhaps Rab would agree with Shmuel that there's no need to go ahead and divorce her immediately. Give it a little bit of time to see if they could potentially work out a resolution, find the Pesach. V'i itmar baha, and if would have just said it in this case, meaning our Mishnah, baha kamar Shmuel shun da efshar barnes. Maybe in our case, Shmuel says that even if there is no time duration attached to the neder, the husband still doesn't have to divorce her immediately because there is the ability to provide for her support through a third party. But in the case of Tashmish Shamita, I would have said that perhaps he agrees with Rav that halacha lemaisa, if there is no duration attached to the neder, he has to divorce her immediately. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, we'll say lemaisa, both cases are necessary. Tnan, Hamadir's Ishto Shlo Titom Echam Mikoperos, Yotzi V'itin K'suva. What do we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said if a husband makes his wife take a neder. Now we'll say now we're gonna see what this case is, because you can't force someone else to take a neder. But let's say someone administers a neder for his wife that she should not taste a particular fruit. Right? She can't eat apples. So what's the halacha? Yotzi V'itin K'suva. He has to divorce her, give her a get, and give her full K'suva payment. It makes sense according to Rav. Kan bistam, kan bimefarish. So we'll say according to Rav, Rav will say that this case over here, the reason why he has to divorce her immediately is why? Because Lemaisa, again, he attached no duration to the neder. So because of that, he has to divorce her immediately, as opposed to the previous case in the Mishnah, where Lemaisa, there was a time duration, and therefore again, depending on the nature of the neder, depends on the amount of time he has before he has to divorce her. El Shmuel Kasha, but according to Shmuel, this is going to pose a question to which the Gemara says, "Hacha Mayaskinon, what's the case here? Kigon Shenadrahi V'Kayim La'ihu." Oh, we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where she is taking the neder. She is taking the neder, and he is upholding it. Rashi says over here, "Shenadrahi Uma Yesh La Od LaHamtin Inecha LeLedida LeMishkal Ksuvasa Umeifak." Lo sivakish pesach linidra, aval hecha da adra ihu kigom belechanos lo, bless you, yamtin shema yimatze pesach linidra. Supposed to listen to this. The Gemara is suggesting that this case of the fruit is where she took the neder and he upheld it. Now, here's the fundamental distinction. When the husband takes the neder, let's say, saying, I'm not going to support you, so then what we say is, let's give it a month, or I say differently. And he says, I'm taking this neder for a month not to support you. So the halacha essentially says, look, he's obviously upset about something, so let's give it a little bit of time to try to resolve. But if she's making the neder, therefore what? That indicates that she's pretty much done with the marriage. Meaning Rabbi said, the Gemara understands that people only make these type of nedarim if they're unhappy within the marriage itself. That indicates that she wants out. If she wants out, then by definition, says Rashi, that if she wants out, then halacha lemaisa, there's no need to wait, because she's not going to look for a Pesach for her neder, because she wants out of the marriage. If that's the case, then lemaisa, go ahead and give her ksuva and get. Now, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but let's go back to the Gemara. So what's the case? Kigon shenadrihi v'kayim lo ihu. The case where she made the neder and he upheld the neder. V'kasav Rabbi Meir, and I both say the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Meir is the Tanakama of the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir holds, who knows in etzba bein shineha, literally, he places his finger between her teeth. What that means is, he places his finger between her teeth means that he's setting himself up for failure by not annulling that vow at the moment that he hears it. Rashi says, because some Rabbi Meir, who shekiyim, he upholds the neder by essentially not doing anything. So he goes that and nasin etzba ben shinao deshicha. Therefore, Meir holds like this. If she makes this neder and he doesn't do anything to annul it, he just lets it go, he just lets it stand, then the Maaseh, he's set himself up for failure. And therefore, again, he has to give her a get and her ksuva. On the Gemara says, Vesar Rabbi Meir, who knows in Etzel Inshina, is that true? Rabbi Meir holds that when a woman makes a neder and the husband upholds it, that it's as if he placed his finger between her teeth. But we learned, if a woman made a neder to become a nazir, and her husband heard it, and it was not made for, he did not annul it, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda Omrim, he nasna etzba bein shinah. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda say that she is responsible for placing her finger in between her own teeth. In other words, that Lamaisa, she has set herself up for this circumstance. The fichach, therefore, imratzel habal lahafer yafer, if the husband wants to go ahead and annul the vow, he can do so. V'im amar efshi be'isha nadranis, but if he also says, I don't want to be married to a woman who's always taking vows, teitze shelo b'ksuva, he has the right to divorce her without a ksuva. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar omrim, who knows in espa ben shina? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, hold that no, he goes ahead and because he does not annul the vow when he can, it's as if he places his fingers in between her teeth, meaning he's at fault. Lefichach, im ratza haba lahafer yafer, if Taz wants to annul the vow, he has the ability to do so. V'im amar ef shi b'isha nadranis, but if he says, I don't want to be married to a woman who's constantly making the darim, then yotzi v'yitin ksuva. Then the maisa, again, he can divorce her, but he has to give her a ksuva. But also, what do you see from here? You see that Rabbi Meir is on record as saying that when a woman makes a neder, and the husband does not annul it, we say that's called he nasna etzba bein shinah. We call it her fault, right? She's at fault. And yet before we said that Rabbi Meir holds that when the wife makes an neder and the husband upholds it or doesn't annul it, that he's putting his finger between his teeth. So it's a contradiction, to which the Gemara says, Efoch, switch around the shitos. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda Omrim, who knows saying, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar Omrim, he nasna. Oh, so just change it around. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda are the ones who say in this previous case, or the Nazir case, that he is the one ultimately, again, who places his fingers between her teeth. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar are saying the ones that she's the one who places her finger between her teeth. Fine. V'sav Rabbi Yossi, he nasna. But is that true? Is Rabbi Yossi really hold that if she makes the neder, it's as if she placed her finger between her teeth? V'hatna, but we learned, Rabbi Yossi Omer, ba'anios shelo nasan kitzva. We will say again, this isn't our Mishnah. So what does the Mishnah say? If a woman goes ahead and makes a neder, or say differently, the case was if the man makes a neder, hamadrus ishto shlo tiskashet be'echad mikol haminin, a man makes a neder that his wife can't put on perfume, can't use perfumes. So remember what Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi said it depends on the nature of the woman. If she's poor, then lemaisa again shelo nasan kitzva, that even if that if he did not give any level of duration, meaning he just made it stamp, he did not attach a time duration, then that's grounds for divorce. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omerim, Sorry, Yossi, he nasna, vatanan, Rabbi Huda Omer, did I just skip? No, see, I did. So Rabbi Yossi Omerim, so, ba'anios shlo nasan kitzva. So you see over here that lamaisa again, look at Rashi, ba'anios shlo nasan kitzva, Yossi v'iteng suva, ama hu nosing, Daha benadri he vekayim hu ukim to lemasnisin. So we'll say this is a case where the maisa again, where the maisa he upholds the neder, she makes the neder, he upholds it, and yet what do we call that? We say that he has to divorce her and give her the ksuva, which indicates that what? That the halacha is saying that he is at fault for upholding the neder, which is hu nasan etzba ben shina. Ema Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi Omrim, who knows? Saying rather say it's Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi who say that when she makes the neder and he upholds it, it is he who is putting the finger between her teeth. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar Omrim, he nasna. But Rabbi Elazar are saying the ones who say that she is the one who places the finger between her teeth. I have a son, Rabbi Yehuda, he nasna. But is that true that Rabbi Yehuda holds that when she makes a neder, even though I will say when a woman makes it, when a wife makes a neder, it cannot stand unless the husband does not revoke it. Meaning, again, remember, husband doesn't have to do anything to uphold it. He just has to be passive. But lemaisa, he has the ability to undermine it and to stop it. So the Gemara says, "V'hatana we learned, Rabbi Huda Omer b'Yisrael yom echad yikayim." Right, but Rabbi Huda is on record as saying that what? This is the case of where she makes the neder not to go ahead and eat any kind of fruit. So remember, again, Rabbi Huda was the one who said that lamaisa, if the neder was only for one day, yikayim, then ultimately, again, it's okay. But more than that, he has to go ahead and divorce her and give her a ksuva. So what do you see from here? Ema, so you see from here that, we'll say, now, let me just clarify something. Whatever the ruling will be that he has to divorce her and give her the ksuva, the fact that he has to pay the ksuva indicates to us that he's at fault for that which occurred. Therefore, that's called him putting his finger between her teeth, him setting himself up ultimately for failure. So over here, the Gemara is saying, how can you say that Rabbi Yehuda says that it is she who put her finger between her teeth? After all, again, in the case of the fruit, he has to divorce her with a ksuva, which indicates to us what? That lamaisa, he's at fault. Ema, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Omrim, who knows, saying, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, he nasna. Rather say it is Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Yossi who say that he is the one who places his finger between her teeth, and Rabbi Elazar is the one who says that no, it is she who is at fault. Vim tim salomar zugi zugi katani. And if you want to say, but one second, we like to set up the Mishnah as or the Braisa as dealing with pairs, because here you have essentially a 3-1, but shouldn't we make it as pairs? Ema Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar Omrim Hinasna. You could go ahead and say Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar are the ones who say that she's the one who placed the finger between her teeth, meaning she is at fault, she bears responsibility for making the neder. Rabbi Yehud, Rabbi Yossi Omrim, who knows him? Rabbi Yossi are the ones who say that no, he is the one who is responsible for placing his finger between her teeth, because the Maisa, since he is Mekayim the neder, he is the one who upholds the neder, therefore he is responsible. I have a Hastama, Deloki Rabbi Meir. And it would appear that what? That our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. Fine. V'savar Rabbi Yossi ba'anios shlo nasan kitzva. So we'll say, remember, Rabbi Yossi is the one who said in the Mishnah that if a man makes a neder prohibiting his wife from putting on perfume, so if she is poor, the only time where the neder is problematic is if there was no time duration attached to the neder. But apparently, if there was a time duration attached to the neder, then lamaisa, again, the marriage would still be sustainable. Alma, what do you see from here? Alma bal masi mefer. They see from this, we'll say that what? That the husband has the ability to annul the neder. Rashi says, Nidre kishut midikonis lik suva al shekaimo. So we'll say the fact that we penalize him, if he upholds this neder, we penalize him because if the neder has an infinite duration, then the maisi has to divorce her and give her the ksuva. So the fact that we go ahead and we penalize him indicates to us that he has the right to annul such a vow. Or minu. But yet the Mari Zakasha, Elu dvarim shabal mefer. Remember, interestingly enough, what we're going to see is a husband doesn't have the rights of revocation over every single type of vow that his wife makes. Rather, there are only certain types of vows. What are they? Elu dvarim shabal mefer, dvarim sheishban inui nefesh. Only things that ultimately, again, have some element of suffering for the wife. For example, im erchatz, im lo erchatz. Let's say she goes in and she makes a neder not to bathe. Or imes kashet im lo es kashet. Or she makes a neder not to put on perfume. So we'll say, so these would be examples of things that have like personal discomfort for her. And therefore the mice again, he would have the ability to go ahead and null this. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Ein elu nidra inir nefesh. No. Those are not afflictive nidarim. Elu hi nidra inir nefesh. I'm going to tell you things that the husband has the right to revoke because they are afflictive in nature. Shelo ochal basar. Oh, that's affliction, right? That if she takes an ender, that she can't eat wine, she can't eat meat. Shelo eshte yayin, that she can't drink wine. Shelo es kashet bebigdei tzivoni. She won't wear colored clothing, which the Lord says, another way of saying that she won't wear nice clothing. So what's Rabbi Huda holds in this case over here, that Lamai said these are things that are afflictive also because they impact the husband and wife's life together. So what's the case over here? Bidvarim shebeino lebeino. So the Gemara says, so what is the case of the Mishnah that we are referring to? We're referring to a situation of matters that affect him and her. The Rabbi said, now, matters that affect him and her usually refers to matters that affect intimacy. So Rashi says over here, for example, B'darm shebeino lebeino, sam hamashir asaser. We'll say, so this would be, like for example, she makes a neder not to use, you know, in the Gemara, they use a depilatory, right, some type of cream or something to remove hair. Like I guess like today people use wax. So hair, so some type of depilatory. So she makes a neder not to use that. Which I'll both say, obviously, is something that ultimately, again, will impact their intimate life. So the Gemara says, "Honey, chalamana." So that's an example, ultimately, again, of a neder that has an element of inui nefesh that impacts him. So the idea that the Gemara is saying over here is, a husband can't just impact any neder. He can't revoke any neder. He can only revoke nedarim that somehow he could prove have an impact on his quality of life or his quality of marriage as well. So obviously, again, if she refuses to use the pills or to use this cream, to use this sam, then lemaisa again, it negatively impacts her intimate life. So honey, chalman damer dvarm shavino lebeino abal mefer. So that works fine according to the one who says that a neder that a wife takes that impacts her intimate life, he has the ability to annul. El lemando amar ina bal mefer my ikal mefer. But according to the man damer who says that what? That Lamaisi doesn't have the ability to annul such a vow. So what can be said? Now, both say, remember, I want to be clear. The Gemara is suggesting over here that what we called quote-unquote perfume in the Mishnah also covers this case of the hair removal cream, of the depilatory. So therefore, again, that's why he would have the right of revocation over that, because Lamaisi, again, it impacts their intimate life. Rav Huna says, Habal Mefer. So Rav Huna says that the husband has the right to revoke this. Rav Ada bar Ava Amar in Habal Mefer. Rav Ada bar Ava says the husband doesn't have the right to revoke it. Shalom Atzinu Shual Shemes Ba'afar Pir. Now, Rav Ada says this is a very interesting expression, because Rav Ada bar Ava says we have never found that a fox has died in its own foxhole. Now, Rav Ada says, now what does that mean? Rashi says over here Ba'afar Pir Ba'afar Chur Shu Gadol Sham Kilomar. Even if the wife doesn't do certain things that otherwise a husband would want her to do in terms of making herself more attractive for him, lemaisa, he's not going to die, right? Meaning he'll be fine. Now we will see ultimately also that there are other concerns. There are other concerns later on the Gemara discusses when a wife doesn't remove certain hair that could go ahead and actually negatively injure the husband. We'll get to that later. But the point that Rav Ada bar Ava is making over here is that Lemaisa, as much as this is something that perhaps makes her less desirous, and even if there's a little bit of an element of sakana, which we'll discuss, at the end of the day, a fox never died in its foxhole, which means he knows her, he's been intimate with her, and therefore, again, it's going to be fine. It may ultimately detract from the attractiveness, but lemaisa, again, it's not enough. It's not enough, says Rav Ada bar Ava, to go ahead and be grounds for divorce, says the Gemara. Ela hacham ayaskin, and what's the case over here? Kigon de talino le kishuta betash mishamita. What's the case over here? Where she went ahead and she made her use of kishutim, of cosmetics, dependent on tashmish shemitah. What does that mean? The amra ye aser hanas tashmishich alai imes kashet, where she says the benefit of, or the pleasure of Tashmish with you, if she's talking to her husband, will be prohibited to me if I go ahead and I use kishut and I use cosmetics. So she made this neder that essentially says, if I use cosmetics, I will not be able to be intimate with you. Kida'amar Rav Kahana, the Rav Kahana, what did Rav Kahana say? Hanos tashmishi alayich kol fem mishamashto. We'll say, if the wife makes a neder saying, the benefit of relations with me is prohibited on you. She's talking to her husband now. So such a neder is ineffective because she can't go ahead and asser herself onto him. She can't asser herself onto him, Rashi says over here. So we'll say, therefore again, she can't go ahead and say to him, the pleasure of Tashmish with me is asser on you. But what she can go ahead and say is that the pleasure is asser on me. That she absolutely can say. However, Hanos Tashmishich alai. The Hanah of your Tashmish is asser to me. So Yafer. Ultimately, again, the husband, if he doesn't want the Tashmish with her to become asser, he needs to annul that vow. Lefi she'in ma'achilin la'adam davar ha'asser lo. Because a person, we don't go ahead and feed a person something that is prohibited to him. Suppose I say the idea over here is, Gemara's showing that she can, in fact, make such a neder like this. That technically speaking, if she were to make such a neder like this, to say that if I use cosmetics, the hana'ah, the benefit, the pleasure of tashmish with you, my husband, will become prohibited to me, which effectively prohibits the couple from being intimate. Such a neder could technically work, and therefore the husband must annul that neder immediately upon hearing it. To which the Gemara says, Velo tiskashet velo tiaser. So I don't understand, what's the big deal? Meaning, if she makes an edir, I will say, that says that if I go ahead and use cosmetics, so the pleasure of Tashmish will be asr on me. So you have a very simple answer. What's the simple answer? Don't use cosmetics. To which the Gemara says, imkein kari la minuveles. But the problem is, if we do that, then people will say that she's a minuveles. People will say over time that she is disgusting. Rashi says, imkein kari la minuveles. Because the Gemara says something very interesting, that you know, although you could make that argument to a man, so a woman is going to be generally much more careful about her appearance, and even if she's able to go ahead and avoid using the cosmetics for a certain amount of time, there's going to come the point in time where she's not going to feel put together, and she's going to use it. So inevitably, she's going to use it. And therefore, once she uses it, what happens? It triggers the neder, prohibiting Tashmish with him. Therefore, because this is a neder that ultimately impacts his life, therefore what? He has the ability to annul. So we'll say, let me just clarify this. So remember, let's just remind us of what we're trying to accomplish over here. The Mishnah, the last case in the Mishnah, spoke about a situation where the wife makes a neder not to go ahead and wear cosmetics. So again, Rabbi Yossi said that Lamaisa, if the neder has no duration, then Lamaisa again, husband has to divorce her and give her a ksuva. Now, whenever you see that phraseology of husband has to divorce her and give her the ksuva, that's code for husband had the right to go ahead and. The stuff in here, no? Yeah, the handles just go up and you push up. Thank you, listen. Thank you. So the Gemara says like this. Well, so understand what we're trying to figure out over here. So therefore, the fact that it says that you have to go ahead and give her a ksuva indicates that what? That the husband had the ability and the rights of revocation. He had the ability to go ahead and revoke it. Now, both say, then the only way he has the ability to revoke it is how? Is if lemaisa it's dvarim shebeino lebeino. Somehow it impacts him. So the Gemara just set up this case as a situation of how it impacts him. Where she says, if I go ahead and I use cosmetics, so therefore the benefit of Tashmish with you will become prohibited to me. That's a case where therefore, again, this neder of not using cosmetics impacts him, and that's why he has the ability of revocation. So the Gemara says, Vite aser, I'm sorry, Vite skashet, Vite aser, So let's say even if she goes in and she uses this cosmetics and she becomes usher to him, so what's the big deal? Now remember, so now we're setting it up that if she's saying if she uses cosmetics, she'll become asura in tashmish to him. So the Gemara makes it sound, the Mishnah makes it sound like he has to divorce her immediately. But why does he have to divorce her immediately? This goes back then to a general neder prohibiting tashmish, in which case, according to Beis Shammai, you've got 2 weeks. According to Beis Hillel, you have 1 week. To which the Gemara says, "Hani mili hecha da adrahil." Listen, so it's like, so when do we say there's 1 week versus 2 weeks? This is only when he is the one who is making the neder. This savra mirsach rasach iluye, because she figures he's upset at me, and the hashda mosiv daite, he'll calm down and he'll find a way to revoke his neder. Aval hacha, but here the nadra ihi v'shasik la. But Rabbi said, listen to this. In this case, where she made the neder, and the only way the neder stands is how, is if he hears it and by definition upholds it. Savra midi ishtik misnahu disanili. He says it must be that what? The fact that he heard it and he was silent and therefore upheld it, therefore what? He must hate me. He must hate me. It's such an interesting thing. If he makes the neder, this, by the way, you should just know, marital dynamics have not changed at all. Right? Isn't this amazing? Meaning, she's the one who made the neder, but you should have revoked it. And because you didn't revoke it, you hate me. Right, but you made the nether. Honey, you made the nether. Right, I'm sorry. You're the one who started this. Right? But no, you had the power to revoke it. Because you didn't have the power to revoke it, therefore, lemais, so what? It must be that you hate me. If you hate me, then this whole thing is over. So fascinating dynamic here. So the Gemara goes right there. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yoshalan Lassan Kitzva. Rabbi Yossi said that if she's poor, then lemaisa, again, the neder is only problematic if there's no time duration attached. V'kama kitzva. So I'll say, what would be a duration which would not trigger immediate divorce? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yud Beis Chodesh, up to a year. Rab Arvachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Asar, Eser Shanim, up to 10 years. So also what the Gemara is saying over here is, remember, this is all by an Aniya. So apparently poor women didn't really use a lot of cosmetics. So because of that, the only time that a neder for cosmetics will trigger the need for immediate divorce in Ksuva is when there's no time duration. But if she makes a neder, I'm not going to put on cosmetics for, according to Shmuel, for a year. According to Rabbi Bar Rachana, 10 years. Then even if the husband upholds it, so let me say again, the marriage still stands. Rav Chista Amar Avimi Regel. Rav Chista Amar Avimi said, no, the maximum duration for the neder is one regel, shekin benos yisrael miskashdos beregel, because it was the custom of Jewish women, apparently even poor ones, to go ahead and put cosmetics on every yomtiv, every regel. So the Gemara goes vaydu bashiro slam yom. But if she's a rich woman, the maximum duration of the neder is 30 days. Maishna lam yom. Why 30 days? Amr Abaye shekin isha chashuva nenis mirech kishutel lam yom. Because it was apparently rich women, so when they put on their cosmetics, so the scent of those cosmetics often lasted up to 30 days. Therefore, again, a neder, we'll say, I have to understand something. Also, cosmetics are very different in times of the, perfumes are very different in times of the Gemara, that much of this was done, much of this, because people didn't necessarily bathe regularly. So because of that, also, cosmetics were not just there to make someone smell less, they were also there to mask odor. So because of that, again, it probably was much stronger smelling, and therefore much longer lasting. So if she made a neder, if she was a rich woman, and she went ahead and she made a neder not to put perfume on, so for up to 30 days, the neder is manageable, marriage is sustainable. More than 30 days, ultimately, again, marriage is unsustainable, and he has to divorce her and give her a ksuva. So it says the Mishnah, Hamadir as ishto shlotele chlebeis avia. It was a very interesting case. A man makes a neder prohibiting his wife from going to her father's home. Nobody knows ever go to the father's home. So what's the halacha? Bizman shehu ima bi'ir. So we'll say, so this is the same theme as the previous Mishnah, which is, these are what we'll call lifestyle nedarim that he is making. And the shayla is, you know, what's the maximum duration for these types of nedarim that still allow the marriage to be manageable? And at what point in time do we say that he has created essentially an unlivable circumstance for the wife and that would trigger immediate divorce and payment of the ksuva? So it depends. If her father lives in the same town as them, bizman shehu ima be'ir, chodesh echad yikayim shnayim yotzi. Then the ma'isa, again, if the neder was for a month, then fine. 2 months, Yes, divorce her and give her a ksuva. But if the father of the wife, the father-in-law, does not live in town, then regel echad, then if the neder was for a regel, now I will say, you understand, we've just switched from chadashim to regalim. Now the reason for that is because if a woman's parents did not live in town, generally what a woman would do, she goes to her parents for yontif. Right? So therefore again, the duration of the neder is for one regal, meaning let's say now it's, so we just finished Pesach, so if he says you can't go to your father, you can't go to your parents' house, you know, until Shavuos, fine. However, Shlosha Yotzi, but I will say it's interesting because it makes a jump from one to three. So now, but if the neder was for three regalim, you can't go to your parents' house the next three regalim, then Yotzi v'eating ksuva. We'll discuss what happens with two. He has divorced her and give her a ksuva because such a neder creates an undue hardship for her and therefore triggers immediate dissolution of the marriage. Hamadris ishto shlo telech lebeisa avel ul lebeisa mishta. A man makes a neder prohibiting his wife from going to the beis avel, from going to a house of mourning, or from going to a house of a party, a beis mishta, a simcha. Yotzi v'yiting ksuva. He has to divorce her and give her a ksuva immediately. Why? Bipnei shenoel befaneha. Because ultimately he closes the door in her face. Now we'll discuss what that means. But if he said, I don't want you going to these places because of another matter, then Rashai, he is permitted to make this neder. Now we'll discuss what that davar acher is. So if he says to her that I'll remain married to you, meaning this marriage could only sustain, if you go ahead and you tell Ploni what I said to you, or if you tell Ploni, tell so and so what you said to me, or tell Ploni what I said to you. So we'll see what these cases are exactly in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, or he tells her to fill up and to pour out in the garbage dump. In all of these cases, Yotzi v'yiting ksuva. He has to go ahead and divorce her and give her a ksuva. So we'll say, obviously, we'll have to see what exactly these cases are. Says the Gemara, so there seems to be an inherent contradiction. Amrit regel echa yikayim hashnayim yotzi v'yiting ksuva. Both say in the first case in the Mishnah, where a man says to his wife, if she's living in town you can't go to visit your father. So what did the Mishnah say? If her parents live in town, so if her parents do not live in town, so then what? If the neder was only for one regel, fine, marriage is sustainable. But if it was for two regalim, hashnayim, yotzi v'yiting ksuva. But if it was for two regalim, then the ma'aseh, he has to go out. Now, the inference of that, Rabbi Sai, is that it's only one that's sustainable. Had he told her for two, that would trigger an obligation to go out and divorce her and give her a ksuva. Yet, in ma'aseh, look at the end of that case, shloshi yotzi v'yiting ksuva. It says that if he prohibits her from going to her father's home for three regalim, he has to divorce her and give her a ksuva. Hashnayim yikayim. But the inference from that is what? That if it was only for two regalim, that lamaisa again, the marriage would be sustainable. To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye said, Seifa Ason the Kohenes. So Abaye brings up the previous distinction from the previous Mishnah, which is about say that the longer duration is talking about the wife of a Kohen. Because since the wife of a Kohen, once he divorces her, so there's no going back, he can't decide to remarry her. Therefore, we give a little bit of a longer duration. Prior to the actual triggering of divorce. Rabbi Huda is the one who advanced this distinction between the Israelis and according to the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Bar Ula Amar Lo Kasha. Rabbi Bar Ula says similarly, there is no contradiction. Kan biridufa, kan b'she'ena ridufa. Oh, I will say it depends. So look at this. Rashi's redufa lilich lebeis aviyah tamid shnayim yotzi she'in redufa shnayim mikayim. I will say it depends on the nature of the woman. If you have a wife who always needs to be by her parents' house, so then lemaisa again, if she always needs to be by her parents' house, then what we say is the maximum is one regel. Two regalim creates an undue hardship. If he's going to make the neder for two regalim, he should divorce her and give her a ksuva. But if she's not so redufa, meaning she's not so eager to go to her parents' house, but she likes to go every once in a while, then what? Then it's only going to be three regalim that causes a problem and not two. So interestingly enough, the nature of the neder here will ultimately determine on how driven she is, how eager she is to go to her parents' house. So the Gemara says, as Gemara just closed the drasha, as hayisi be'inav kimotzei shalom. So again, the Navi says over here in Shir HaShirim,
Shlomo says that I will be in the eyes of my beloved, like one who finds shalom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what does this mean? Kekala shenimtes bebeis shenimtes shlema bebeis chameha or adufa leilech ulahagit shvacha bebeis avia. That Klai Yisrael say, you know, for a daughter-in-law, there is no greater accolade than knowing that her in-laws love her. So Shlomo says that we should be like a kala who finds favor in the house of our father-in-law of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, there's a different discussion who the father-in-law is, but we run back home, and she runs back home to tell her father how much her husband's family loves her. So now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Hosea that says, it will be on that day when Klal Yisrael reconciles with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we will no longer call HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we will call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ishi, my husband, velo tikra li od ba'ali, my master. Now we'll say, now the idea over there that the Navi's espousing is that there are two ways you could describe a husband, either Ishi or Ba'ali. Now they both mean husband, but they represent different relationships. So Ba'ali refers to a master. Yes, it's the husband, but it's not necessarily a loving or passionate or intimate relationship. It's more like a husband occupies a higher level of power and the wife a lower level of power. But Ishi represents an equivalence, and more important, Ishi represents a passionate love. So the Navi says so beautifully that it'll be on that day where we will not call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ali, but rather we will call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ishi. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kekala bebeis chameha, velo kekala bebeis aviha. We will be like a kala in her father-in-law's home, and not like a father kala in her father's home. I will say, now what does that mean? When does a kala live in her father's home? Kala lives in her father's home, ultimately, again, during Erusin. But when does she live in her father-in-law's home? The custom was after Nisuin. So we hope that the day will come when we will no longer just simply be betrothed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the day will come when the Mirtzah will actually have Nisuin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be able to establish that beautiful and intimate relationship. All right, the boss will stop over here. Shikoyach.